Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios. Going to be with you till 3 o'clock this afternoon, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Told Garrett we can open up the phone lines as well. We can be fan-friendly with you here this afternoon. We are asking you to download the Odyssey.com app, since we know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be. But you want to listen to the station and the show, what's the best way to do it? Odyssey.com app. Put that on your device today, right? Take the smartphone, you got your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your Laserdisc player, your Sega Genesis, Atari 2600, Coleco, whatever your device is, just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. So it's the best way to be a part of the show. Do it through my personal Twitter handle. Reach me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. We got young Garrett producing the show today, hanging out with us. We'll talk to Jason Longshore in about 20 minutes from now as Atlanta United, of course, later on this evening, pregame at 6:30, 7 p.m. kick, take on Montreal as the East leading Montreal as far as points leader goes, comes into Mercedes-Benz. Full capacity available tonight for Atlanta United, 42,500, the lower bowl area, and vaccines will be available as well. So you can watch the match, get your vaccine, do your thing, and whatever you want to go from there. Eat, drink, vaccine, be merry, whatever is going on with all of that stuff. Anyway, Jason Longshore and Mike Conney will have the call for all of that. Talk a little bit about Falcons football earlier on in the show as rookie camp is rolling along. Of course, we'll talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up at 2:20 and get his thoughts about what happened yesterday out there, where the Falcons stand. Obviously, Julio, lots of stuff to get into. The defensive scheme that Dean Pease is talking about playing, lots of Falcon news and notes to get into with him. But Vegas has put the over-under win total for the Falcons. Now that we've had the schedule release and everything else going on, Falcons on multiple fronts are looking at 7.5 wins as the over-under for this upcoming season. 7.5. So Vegas doesn't necessarily even see them as a 500 or above team. Now, obviously, last year, the 4-12 season, but this team was 0-7 in one-score games last year. So it's not like the Falcons were getting blown out week after week and just were an awful football team. And we know the follies and the ups and the downs and all the craziness and the coaching and things like that. So you would figure it would be awfully tough to go back-to-back years of, say, 0-14 in one-score games. If they do that, then there's a lot of questions that have to be asked about where we're at as a franchise out there. Now, I think the Falcons are probably somewhere 9 wins. I think that's a realistic number for the Falcons this year. Does that get them in the playoffs? I don't know. You know, it depends on some of the balance of the NFC. Tell me if Aaron Rodgers is a Green Bay Packer or not. If he's not, and let's say he goes to an AFC team just arbitrarily. Okay, Packers probably aren't a playoff team at that point. Sorry, but with all due respect to Jordan Love and Blake Bortles, you substitute those two guys, even if you could play both of those guys together. Even if the NFL said you can have 12 players if you're the Packers, you can have two quarterbacks and throw teams off with who you snap it and run it to. Even if you did that, they still wouldn't be as successful as they are with Aaron Rodgers. So there are things like that. What if Deshaun Watson came to the NFC and was traded? Does that tip the balance? So there are things that still have to be determined for this. But I think when you look at the Falcons' schedule, I think 9 wins is a realistic number. Now, why will they beat 7.5 wins? Why will they be 8 wins or more? Well, a few things. One is they're coached better. And that's that literally for all of the things that we talk about, and we'll talk about some of the metrics or stats or whatever. If they are coached better, they should be able to find 4 more wins. I mean, certainly last year, there were games where the Falcons late in games were 96-98% win probability. They were the ultimate snatch defeat from the jaws of victory type of team last year. And it was awful to watch. I mean, it was painful and disheartening, and it was like, you know, stabbed in the kidney with a dull butter knife. Bad at times to watch. So coaching will be the first thing that will dictate whether or not that they can be closer to being above 500 or above for this team. Second thing is their offense gets consistently on track the way that we expect them to. That they protect Matt, they score points, they score touchdowns in the red zone, they can run the ball on short yardage situations when they need to. They don't have to be a great running team, and just because Arthur Smith is coming over here, they don't have Derrick Henry, and they don't have that offensive line. It's not going to be the same thing, but doesn't mean with the weapons and the personnel that they have, whether it's the addition of Davis, whether it's the draft of Kyle Pitts, they certainly have pieces and parts that they should be a dynamic offense. So, and look, despite what some hosts that used to be on this station and the show that I host now would tell you that, oh, well, look, you know, Dan's turning them into a defensive-minded team, defensive-first team. They were never going to be a defensive-first team. Not as long as Matt and Julio were on the roster. If you have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, you are always an offensive-minded team first. That's the reality. Now, go get your rookie quarterback and something. Then we can talk about being defensive-minded. But as long as you have Matt and Julio in their prime, you are never going to be a defensive-minded football team. Ever. Understand? That's foolish to even bring that up when you have the 2 highest-paid guys on your roster and the investment around them. So that was never going to happen. So as of right now, as I look at the Falcons roster, I see Julio Jones as an Atlanta Falcon. I see Matt Ryan as Atlanta Falcon. So they are an offensive-minded football team, first and foremost. That's where their calling card, that's what their bread and butter is. Do they have to be better defensively? Yes, we'll talk about that here in just a second. But they have to be, first and foremost, a better, more consistent offense that can continue to score in the red zone, that doesn't have to settle for field goals, that can pick up short yardage first downs in their running game, that can protect their quarterback and keep him upright to be able to survey the field and complete 70% of his passes, and coaching create difficult matchup problems for teams. Kyle Pitts is split out, and all of a sudden, a linebacker safety is looking at him. You know, linebacker's looking at him. He's running right past him down the field. You know, creating matchup problems for other teams. The second part is no different than it was in the Super Bowl year. What's the number one reason the Falcons were in the Super Bowl? Because your quarterback was the MVP of the league. What's the number two reason the Falcons were in the Super Bowl? Because you had the guy that led the league in sacks. What do I always say on this show? Give me a 4,000-yard quarterback and a 15-sack guy, I can win a lot of games in the NFL. Now, how they do it, I have no idea. But they have to get a better pass rush. Not move a guy off the spot, not make the guy, you know, change locations. They have to have quarterbacks for the opposing team get up from the play looking out their ear hole. Simple, right? This down and distance ends with the quarterback of the other team stands up and his helmet is sideways to where he has to look out the side of it. Understand that concept? That's what they have to do. Not sort of get there, not hurry him, not move him off a spot, but tackle him to the ground with the ball in his hand, or knock the ball out of his hand and take him to the ground. But they have to sack the quarterback. And if they can do that on defense, you can figure out a lot of other things in the NFL. You really can. Whether you like that or not, if you can sack the quarterback in this league, a lot of other things just kind of fall into place naturally. Your secondary will be better, even if your personnel is not great. And the Falcons right now don't have a lot of great personnel in their secondary. So even if your personnel is not great, you sack the quarterback, your defense will look drastically different. Now, why will they not get to at least 8 wins in this case? Let's say that 7.5 will take it up to 8. Number one is your offensive line hasn't grown and gotten better. You still can't run the football effectively, and you still can't protect Matt with his, what is it, over the last 3 years, is 131 sacks or whatever the stat that D-Led has for all of it. If you can't open up some holes and you can't protect Matt with your offensive line, then your offense isn't going anywhere at this point. I know what Matt and Julio and those guys can be. What I need to know is that can our offensive line continue to move forward? Can Chris Lindstrom become a first-team NFL-caliber guard? Can Caleb McGarry be at least average or slightly above at right tackle? Because right now, he's not. Can Jake Matthews at least continue to hold serve and not take any steps backward? Can they get improved play from left guard and center, even though it's not going to be necessarily a veteran probably who takes one of those or both of those spots? Can they hold their own? Remember, this is a team that went to the Super Bowl with Chris Chester and Andy LaVitre as two of the guys starting in the interior offensive line for this team. If you got some guys around them that can play, you could adapt. You're not going to have 5 first-team all-NFL guys. You don't get to have, Eric Williams, Larry Allen, Nate Newton, and Mark Tuinei. Rarely do you get that collection of guys all together at one time. And the second part is Dante Fowler and that pass rush don't figure it out. And the pass rush starts with Dante Fowler. For whatever reasons you want to tell me, he was hurt, he couldn't play, this, that, and the other. I don't care. Doesn't really matter. What matters is that when I go on the internets and I pop in profootballreference.com and I look at the stats for the Falcons season in 2020 and I see that Dante Fowler only has 3 sacks, what the reasons are don't matter. All they report is what the actual stats were. And if my top paid, top defensive end, top guy who's supposed to be, and remember, we quoted last night, some of the comments from some of the positional coaches, like outside linebackers coach, about the idea of getting Fowler in the mix. It doesn't matter what the reasons are. If at the end of the year, Pro Football Reference lists 3 sacks for Dante Fowler, then my pass rush is not going to improve. Because there's not anything sitting out there that tells you that somebody else is coming in or somebody else is on the roster that's going to get me my 12 or 15 sacks to make up for all of that. So line of scrimmage play will dictate a lot about where this team goes this year. Shocking in the NFL, huh, that's where we would be talking about. For a team and a franchise, by the way, that it's not a matter of they haven't invested capital. You can't say that the Falcons haven't invested capital, whether it's making Alex Mack a high-priced free agent signing, whether it's taking Jake Matthews as the number 6 pick overall, whether it's McGarry and Lindstrom as 2 first-round picks, whether on the other side of the football, Marlon Davidson's a second-round pick, putting big money into Dante Fowler as a free agent. You can't say that the Falcons haven't, put money and time and draft and investment into their lines of scrimmage. The problem has been more of how's it worked out? What's been the production that they've gotten out of the people that they've brought in or signed as free agents or traded for or did this or did any of that for it? And so line of scrimmage play, as usual in the NFL, especially for this team, given the woes that it has, really going to change some things up. All right, we get back. Our buddy Jason Longshore going to join us. We'll get you ready for Atlanta United and Montreal. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Keys Studio, Sports Radio, Not to the Game. Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, live in the Kia Studios on a Saturday afternoon, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app site catches on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, at JMCH316 on my personal Twitter page. Feel free to hit me up there as well. We get ready a little bit later on this evening, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 o'clock. As Atlanta United will be home, first time full capacity opened up for this season as they take on the Eastern points leader in CF Montreal. This man on the waitfor.com hotline as we go out there will be part of the call along with Mike Connie. Jason Longshore joining us here, our good friend of the show. Of course, follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. A good Saturday afternoon to you, Jason, as we get ready for full capacity, free vaccines, a lot going on at Mercedes-Benz here this evening.
Yeah, it's going to be a special evening. I mean, the first home game of the year had half capacity, and it felt close to normal. You know, you had reactions from the crowd. It felt like there was an effect from the home fans. This is going to be a whole other level that we haven't experienced since, last March in 2020? It's a long time.
All right. So before we get into the match, I want to talk to you about something because this story is fascinating to me. And let me tell you how fascinating. And I talked about this on my show last night. We played clips. I literally listened to 40 minutes of a soccer podcast yesterday. The Athletics soccer podcast, and they had Felipe Cardenas on there with the two hosts. I guess they're the two national writers for the Athletic out there. My question to you is this. Is it fair or unfair to say that as you look at this roster and you look at the coach and everything, is this on Carlos Bocanegra now? Like what we see here is all about Carlos Bocanegra, or is that an unfair assessment of how the roster and the coaches are?
What we're seeing right now, I think, is obviously Gabriel Heinze has input. And you see some of the players that have come from Argentina where Gabriel Heinze had managed the last 2.5 seasons, players that he's familiar with, players that, you know, I don't know how long of a list he might have submitted of guys that he liked and guys that he would like to see in an Atlanta shirt. That part we don't know for sure. It's always been a collective effort in putting things together. And Darren Eales talked about that this week. And you know, the coaches have had differing layers and levels of input, it seems like. Maybe Frank DeBoer didn't have as much or didn't supply as much. I don't know how that worked out. Tata Martino, you know, it's been documented that there were guys that he requested specifically, and I think he got who he wanted. We haven't heard that hasn't happened with Gabriel Heinze. So it's a process. I don't think any team at this level that is done well is just one person calling all of the shots.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating dynamic thus far. I will say I'm very intrigued by all of this. Let me ask another kind of separate question. Montreal, they're obviously staying down in Lauderdale, I believe. And the NHL is running into this as well about trying to negotiate with the Canadian government. Because once you get to the Final Four in the Stanley Cup playoffs, there is guaranteed one Canadian team because one of the divisions is all Canadian. Is there talk about how long Montreal is going to have to stay down in Florida? Are they going to try to play the whole season there? Or because, man, it just feels like that there should be some advantage. It's interesting to think that this has been the points leader in the East and guys haven't had a chance to sleep in their own bed this year.
Yeah, it's a credit to Wilfred Nancy, the manager of Montreal, who took over during training camp when Thierry Henry had to walk away because he couldn't do that again another year where you're not actually at home for any, you know, extended period of time. I don't know what it looks like, and I don't know if we can really even predict it. I think the next big thing, as you mentioned, is the NHL playoffs where – once we get to that Final Four, what are they able to do? And maybe that starts to open some doors for, you know, not just Montreal, but Toronto, who's basing out of Central Florida, and Vancouver, who's basing out of Utah and Salt Lake City, and Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball as well. A lot of this is going to come down to the government and when they start to open up that border and teams can go back and forth. I think the vaccine rollout and the vaccine situation in Canada has not moved at the same pace as it has on this side of the border. Once that happens, I would assume that things will open back up, but I have no idea what that timeline looks like. I think they've left it open-ended to try to get them home, but there's just no way to know when that'll be.
Color analyst for Atlanta United, Jason Longshore, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline as we get ready for United versus CF Montreal. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick, Jason and Mike Connie. I just like saying it that way, Jason. You know, I just tweak everybody. This match tonight, Montreal, as we said, the points leader in the East. Well, let me ask you this. Let me back up for a second. We've got 8 matches now under our belt with Atlanta United. So we've got a little bit of a decent sample size to at least look at. What have you seen from the first time out, you know, when CONCACAF started, to where we're at now? What are a couple of your observations 8 matches in about what this team looks like?
I think every match you're seeing a better understanding of what Gabriel Heinze's vision is for this team. But also, and this has been one of the hardest things to deal with as the games piled up in a short period of time, is you would see that vision, but you wouldn't see it for as long of a period of time because of fatigue. And I think we saw that last week in the second half in Fort Lauderdale. They struggled to really maintain control of the game. So far this season, when Atlanta United had a week between games, they're 3-0. And that's something tonight that I'm really anxious to see. Does it look different? Because you go back to the last few games, and it's felt like Atlanta has had a good 45 minutes in them, maybe even further, but not 90. Can you get closer to that tonight against a team that played in the midweek and had a lightning delay during that match? So that was, it added more time in between. You had to cool down and warm back up, and that stuff is draining. So can you take advantage, if you're Atlanta United tonight, of having that full week, not just to rest, but to prepare and add those layers to the way that this team's expected to play? I'm anxious to see that because they've looked good on full rest this season.
Yeah, it feels like another one of those matchups where, you know, if Atlanta United can get the lead early in this tonight, and Montreal's been a pretty good goal scoring. I think they are they tied for the most in the East as far as goals scored, I believe, Jason.
Yeah, they've been dangerous in the attack, and they're getting it from a lot of different players as well.
But they're also giving up some goals as well. You know, mm-hmm. For a team that scores as much, their plus minus on goals is not that high, and it feels like we keep waiting for a couple of those matches. The last time I predicted, you know, an output from Atlanta United, I told you they'd get 3 goals against Chicago, and you're welcome. That's what I do here is give
that
you facts
sucks.
Like that. But it does feel like another one of those matches where you want to see Atlanta United get some things going early and get out front because, you know, I don't know. I don't want to see them against a top goal-scoring team start to let them get their rhythm with a goal or two under their belt tonight.
Yeah, especially a team that just they won't be 100%. There's no way they can be after playing on Wednesday. They're going and traveling day of, and that's the other little element this season that's a wrinkle, is if the trip is less than 3 hours, teams have to travel day of the game if it's an evening game. So it's not a long flight, but that just throws off your rhythm. Everything's different. Atlanta needs to come out hot tonight and really push the tempo early. Because if Montreal is able to get a goal and then kind of settle in and put numbers behind the ball and defend and try to play on the counter, which they're very good at, makes it more difficult for Atlanta. The more wide open the game is tonight, I think it favors Atlanta United.
How much, Jason, are we starting to get in a mode where, you know, it's time for Atlanta United to try to accumulate some points? I mean, they, you know, I think they're sitting middle of the Eastern Conference right now as far as points go, and it's early in the season. But it just feels like, you know, we're ready for this kind of breakout, that it's been, you know, at times kind of grinding your teeth and trying to get, you know, a positive result, and you get a tie here and stuff. But it does feel like we're kind of moving into that area of, okay, let's start to turn the corner. Eight matches in, you know, I think we're all kind of ready to start seeing this team start to trickle that way back toward what we expected, I think, you know, for what was a busy and productive offseason for this team.
Yeah, and it's the attack that's going to spark that. Defensively, they've been good this season, but the attack has been creating chances. They need to create better chances. They need to put away chances. They need to get back into the habit of, when the ball turns over in the attacking half, putting that immediate high pressure on. So even when the other team defends well and they're able to take away some of your passing lanes and make it difficult for you to connect in the final third, if you're pressing after you lose possession, so you turn the ball over in your attacking third, Montreal has it, they're trying to get their bearings about them as they have the ball, where Atlanta can immediately press there, cause a turnover, and go to goal immediately. That is what can get you some quick kind of garbage goals in a way. And that can get the ball rolling. I think it just feels like, and I'm hoping this is the case with Joseph and the team as a whole, that if you can get a goal, it starts to snowball. And we've seen that at Mercedes-Benz Stadium over the years, where the crowd gets going. It just feels like everything starts running downhill for Atlanta United. You've got to get that first goal, and you've got to generate those chances.
Jason, last thing for you with about a minute left. No Barco again tonight, I guess, is what it's looking like. I mean, just kind of where are we with him? What's his state of the franchise, I guess, at this point, man? It's another guy that so much hope and expectation, along with PT Martinez, and just for whatever reason. At the end of the day, Jason, you know, everything's a net results business, and it just doesn't feel like things have materialized with him as well. Where are we kind of at the state of the franchise with Barco at this point?
You want to get him healthy, because at this point in 2021, there is an Olympics later in the year, and Ezequiel Barco will likely be part of Argentina's squad. In a perfect world, he gets healthy. He plays well for Atlanta going into that. He goes to the Olympics and lights it up for what should be expected to be a really good Argentine U23 team, and then generates interest from clubs around the world. And that's kind of the next step, because he's getting later in that contract. But if he's not able to play and he's not able to stay healthy, that diminishes the interest from clubs around the world. And then it makes it a difficult decision when his contract gets towards the end.
On Twitter, at Long Shoe, on the call later this evening, pregame at 6:30, 7 o'clock kick. All of your action right here on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Jason Longshore and Mike Conley will be on the call, trying to get a win with full capacity at home. Vaccines available. Lots going on, and he joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Jason, enjoy the match tonight. Should be interesting. Good test tonight for Atlanta United. I think this is a good matchup and a good test, and certainly a match United could win against a good team, and I think would start to maybe send a message around the league about, okay, Atlanta United starting to figure some things back out.
Yeah, totally agree. It should be a fun call for Mike and I. I'm expecting a very open, exciting match this evening.
All right. Well, don't yell at anybody, Jason, when you're down there, get any arguments or anything.
I probably will. You've heard me call games before, right?
Yes, that's true. Yes, yes. You are very boisterous. What's bugging?
At times.
What's bugging Longshore? Anyway, thanks, Jason. Thanks as always, Jason.
Thanks, Don.
Speaking of what's bugging Longshore, when we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chukri. Cole Beasley's taken a lot of hits, but then again, how worried is the NFL about these things? Because I'm going to go back to my same frame of reference that I keep referring to, that nobody can seem to be able to change my mind or talk me out of. It's all next. Chukri here, hanging out in the Kia Studios, headed toward 3 o'clock. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chukri Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on a Saturday afternoon. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app. That's how you catch us on the go. Social media, you can find us at 929TheGame. My Twitter page, at JMCH316, if you want to hit me up there as well. End of first quarter, Knicks are up 36-27 over the Hornets. Boy, Julius Randle with a big first quarter. 12 points, 5 boards, 4 assists. I think he's feeling it. I think he knows. They got to put the hammer down, and they've got to win. So that's a pretty strong first quarter, and you know, by a guy who's had a really, really good year for the New York Knicks and Julius Randle. 12 points, 5 boards, and 4 assists in one quarter. That's a good way to start. Unfortunately, we want to be Hornets fans and see a loss tonight. Bucks and Heat don't happen until 8 o'clock. I think that's the ESPN game. Is that? I think it's an ESPN tonight, 8 o'clock start on there. I may be wrong about that, but I think it's an 8 o'clock ESPN game. Lakers, by the way, in action right now, too, is LeBron and AD and everybody. I think Dennis Schroeder was playing today as well. So they're taking on the Pacers. They've got an early lead of 38-30. And then the Nets today were playing, what was the stat that I saw? They're playing with their big three, right, for the first time in like 2 months or something ridiculous. Yeah, but the last time they played was, I forget how long ago they said, where Durant and Kyrie and Harden are all playing together. When they got their big three with Irving and Durant and Harden, I want to say it's been like almost a couple of months or something ridiculous since the last time that they've played. But they said they're going to play all their big three tonight. So we'll see what happens there. They're you know, obviously they've secured one of the top spots in the Eastern Conference. But that Knicks Hornets score is interesting to watch, and they're underway in the second quarter, 38-27 right now. So a lot of work to do for the Hornets to try to get back in this thing and get us a victory here in Atlanta that we would like to see. You know, let's hope for a couple of losses for both teams. Hawks, of course, back in action coming up tomorrow against the Rockets. That will be a 7 o'clock game right here on 92.9 The Game with Steve Holman and Mike Conney. We'll have the call for all of that. So pregame at 6:30, 7 o'clock tip as the Hawks will finish off the regular season, catch a little bit of a break while the play-in games all take place and all that goofy stuff that they've got going on, all the gimmicks and everything they got going on. So, you know, maybe the NBA could do a bio on Doink the Clown. And by the way, we'll talk about that Shawn Michaels about an hour from now. We're going to talk about because this is the one, I got to be honest with you, this is the one that, especially now that we've gotten 4 of these under our belt that I'm and we're halfway done, this is the one that I'm really fascinated by. And I'll talk a little bit about the reasons why coming up in about an hour from now. Don't forget, we've got at 2:20, we'll talk to our buddy D-Led as Falcons have wrapped up their rookie camp and guys are doing their Zoom call, media sessions and things like that. So D-Led is putting lots of information out there about what these guys have done and what he's seen thus far. So we'll get an update from him coming up at 2:20 this afternoon. All right, let's get to something, though, that we call What's Bugging Chukri. So one of the guys that's gotten beat up over the last couple of days in the NFL is Cole Beasley. Now, obviously, the NFL is tweaking its rules and its protocols. And obviously, the NFL is encouraging. I think if the NFL had its way, they would mandate that everybody get a vaccine. But that's not going to fly with the NFLPA. But they're obviously encouraging everybody to get their vaccine, because if they get their vaccine, they're loosening up restrictions. And we saw the mask mandates are going away for vaccinated people and in all these different things. But Cole Beasley, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, has taken some heat over the last couple of days because he says that he's not planning on getting vaccinated. And he quote tweeted something that Dr. Fauci said, whose story changes every other day, but that's fine. We'll step aside from all of that. Oh, he criticized Dr. Fauci. Yeah, I did. And if you really want to have that intellectually honest discussion, we can have that at a different time. But anyway, so he quote tweeted something and said about the idea of, hey, what if I don't want a vaccine? Am I breaking the law now? And there's all kinds of back and forth, right? And look, you get into those kinds of discussions on Twitter, why you would want to get in those discussions on Twitter, because you literally are not going to change anybody's mind whatsoever. You might as well just take a ball-peen hammer, smash your head 17 times, and then turn Twitter off. And then when you're done with that, hit yourself in the head 5 more times just in case the first 17 didn't work, because you're going to go nowhere in a hurry with that discussion. But here's my thing, because the general manager of the Bills said that, you know, they would consider cutting a guy if it meant for vaccination rates and this, that, and the other. But again, I keep going back to this whole thing that the NFL last year figured it out in the middle of this thing with no vaccines or nothing available. Why is this becoming such a difficult thing all of a sudden for the NFL or teams to try to figure out? If you have guys vaccinated, then lift your restrictions. If you don't, then put a set of protocols and rules in place, including testing and things like that. Well, but they could get it, they could infect other people and this, that, and the other. Okay, so again, Chachi, let me see if I understand this right. As long as you get on the field where you can spit, snot, sneeze, snoot, snarl, burp, fart, bleed, sweat, that's okay on the field. By the way, I did a little bit of research because we talked about this the other night. According to the NFL and their representatives, in week one last year of the NFL season, of the 1,696 players on rosters in the NFL, do you know how many players in week one wore that Oakley-made face shield that I promise you the NFL invested millions of dollars into Oakley to create? Want to take a guess? Garrett, young Garrett behind the glass. Let's play a game of how many of the 1,696 players on opening day rosters in the NFL wore that Oakley COVID-protecting face shield. How many do you think wore it?
It can't be any more than 5, right? Okay. I remember it was on social media, and people were making fun of it because they couldn't breathe.
You're way too high, because the answer's 3. Only 60% of that number you just gave. 3 players out of 1,696 wore the quote-unquote COVID face shield protection mask that the NFL invested in. So again, you know, the whole thing about, well, what do we do if they're not vaccinated? You test them, you protocol them, you do all the same stuff you did last year, where once you got on the field, all bets were off. We could snoot, snarl, spit, sneeze, snot, bleed, burp, sweat, fart, everything else that could come out of your pores was fine once you touched the grass. Once you got to that point, all bets were off. So why is this so hard? I understand it's easier to have the people vaccinated, but you're not going to force and you're not going to make it required that everybody has to have it, nor should they. So in a world where you should have a pretty good handle on this stuff and you're talking about a smaller amount of people, because again, once you get on the field, all bets are off. Snoot, snot, spit, snarl, snot, sneeze, bleed, sweat, burp, fart, all of that's fair game when you get on the field. No protection, no mask, no nothing. Because, you know, the 3, what's that percentage, by the way? Divide 3 by 1,696 and give me that mathematical equation. See, again, this is where the nuttiness comes into all of this. Well, how are we going to protect? You're going to protect them the same way you did last year. And you're going to give a damn about as much of it when they get on the field as you did last year, too, where they can, let me repeat it, spit, snarl, sneeze, snoot, snot, burp, bleed, fart, whatever. whatever orifice you have that something can come out and transmit was perfectly fine. Do the math. 3 out of 1,696. It's that high, 0.001? That seems high. Check the math on that one. Good Lord. Again, whether you agree with Cole Beasley or not, let's get into the reality of the situation. Well, how, you know, the Bills, Jeff, and I, how are we going to handle? You're going to do everything the same. And then once they get on the field and they stand on the sidelines, it's I don't give a damn. It's the wild, wild west. Just like it was last year. Call it what it is. Oh, you got to wear a mask? John Gruden just told you F you twice last year and took fines for it to say F you, we have to talk to people. So your mask and all, well, that day, okay. What'd the coaches tell you last year? Screw you. So again, all you got to do is get to the field and then it's open orifice season in the NFL. Spit, snot, snoot, snarl, sneeze, bleed, burp, fart, whatever you can get out of your body is fine once you get on the field. Man, I should have invested in Oakley stock. Good Lord. All right, we get back from the top of the hour. Is Dansby helping or hurting his cause to get an extension? Where are we at with that? Because, by the way, for everybody talking about Freddie, they've got a few other decisions that they have to make on this club as well about what direction they're going to move forward with this team, with its payroll, with everything else. We'll talk some Braves baseball. We got D-Led coming up at 2:20 this afternoon to talk some Falcons football as well. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios with you. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!